Live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Lordy, Lordy, and several other deity names. Yes, Lordy is also a winner of Eurovision. Yes, a heavy metal band from Scandinavia, where we get the Vikings from. Yes, and IKEA. Anyway, what a day we've had already. So you may have seen, if you're keeping adrift on the socials, we have released a book. Yes. Or if you've also heard the announcement we put out earlier today, we've released a book. Yes. We need to talk about Ghosts, Listener Stories, Volume 1. Are you in it? Well, you'll have to find out, won't you? Becca has tirelessly transcribed, edited, etc. these stories. And yeah, we've released them as a book, 40 Paranormal Tales for your delectable palate. Yes, it's available on Amazon. Yes, you can get a Kindle version, which we've got, or a paperback version, which we're waiting on. And we're also, for Patreons, not just for Patreons, for everybody, we're going to put signed copies of the paperback up on the website as and when we get them. So that'll be in the next few weeks. If you sign up to Patreon, you will also get a Patreon discount. Yes, when that all kicks off. So that'll be good, won't it? But we're so excited, yes. And in other news, in case you also haven't listened to the previous announcement, which you probably have, but, you know, the dark episodes that we're putting out, so the next one's coming on Wednesday. Yes, make a note in your diary. The feedback, I always had in my mind that if the feedback was good for that dark episode, that I'm going to do what I've now done, which is to release Dark as its own podcast. So there is now currently sitting in the Apple Podcast Store and Spotify, etc., 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 a new podcast from me, yes, called The Dark Paranormal. So you know the way the dark episode last time was, we need to talk about ghost dark. That will be replaced shortly with The Dark Paranormal. Dark, dark, dark. There might not be echoes, but you get the gist. So in the meantime, whilst this transition takes place, we're still going to be releasing episodes every Wednesday. Alternate Wednesdays, we don't need to talk about ghosts. The other Wednesdays will be a dark episode for the first three episodes of Darkness.
Yes.
And then we'll just go into having a We Don't Need to Talk About every week. And every alternate week, we will release a Dark Paranormal episode. Yes. So for the first 3 weeks, that'll release on both podcasts, on both feeds, the same episode. Yeah. And when I say for the first 3 weeks, I mean for the first three episodes, because they're bi-weekly. And then from the fourth one onwards, they will only be released on the Dark Paranormal feed. So if you want to keep adrift of them, you need to go to your podcast provider. You need to search for The Dark Paranormal and you need to hit subscribe, because that's, as we all know, as podcast listeners, that's how this sort of shizzle whizzle or works. Anyway, that's enough with the announcements. Shall we get to thanking some Patreones and sing some songs? I think we shall. The guitar's out. Now, before we sing to our new patrons, I want to do a little verse just for one person who sent me an email. Eddie Katinas, you know why you're getting this song, my friend. This is just for you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Eddie Katinas, he dropped me an email and I want to say hello. And thank you for your patronage and supporting the show. That was just for Eddie Katinas there. There you go, Ed. Now, shall we say thank you to our new patrons? Yes, we shall. Well, we've had a couple this week, which is great. Thank you very much. Don't forget, guys, go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. It's also in the description of this episode too. And you'll get extra weekly episodes, any of our postings that we put up there, links to stuff, and obviously discounts when the store opens. Yes. So why don't you? Like these wonderful people have. Yes, three new Patreons. We have Georgie Boy McDermott. Hello, Georgie Boy. We have Dan Ghost Stories. That's an interesting. That's not Dan from Emma and Dan, is it? Let me know. And Charlotte Evans. So, Georgie Boy McDermott, Dan Ghost Stories, and Charlotte Evans. This is for you. Georgie Boy McDermott. Yeah. Signed up to Patreon. And Dan Ghost Stories. To name another one. And Charlotte Evans too. Oh, I don't know what to do, but to say thank you. for signing up to Patreon. Ended it on a 7th, because that's what we do. We end it on a 7th so the devil doesn't get us. Anyway, a big thank you to our new Patreons. And don't forget, it's in the show notes of this episode. Go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. Anyway, let's do some Week in Weird.
Week in Weird.
Yes, it's time for more weirdness that's taken place in the last week. Now, this little article comes from the Somerset County Gazette.co.uk, and a man reckons he's discovered a UFO crash site in Meddon Woods in Biddeford. Yes, a UFO in the heart of Somerset. Bum, bum, bum. Now, if you actually look, go to that website, if you look at the picture, it's basically a load of flattened trees. It doesn't look like a UFO's crashed there, and I don't think. But he reckons it has. Ben Landricum was on a walk in the countryside when he found a huge area that had been flattened. He said it looks like the foliage and trees has been squashed by something falling at speed from the sky. He said the trees were snapped as if a flying disc had descended and hit them from a height. Bit of a weird thing to jump to, isn't it? Ben from Plymouth, Devon, can't see any logical explanation for why the trees would have fallen in this way, and that it could be a UFO crash site. Ben found the landing zone in Meddon Woods in Biddeford, Devon, on the 13th of July. In the video that he took of the site, he says, "Something's definitely crashed here. Look at this. Boom. Weird. Massive gap in the woods. All the trees." Yes, quite, Ben. I don't personally think it is, but if you want to go and check that out, let me know what you think. And that's enough for this week's... Wait for it then. And I missed it. Damn. Anyway, that's enough for this week's Week in Weird.
Week in Weird.
Okay, now let's get to the point of this podcast. It gets longer and longer each week to get here, doesn't it? I do apologise. I'll try and make it more succinct. Yes. Anyway, we are going to tell some amazing ghost stories that have came in this week. And I must thank you all for sending them in, but I will also reiterate that we're forever in need of good stories. So I know that my friend, Mr. Cortinas, from the start of the show, said he's working on one, so please send that in, Eddie. And if you have one that you're sitting on and you think, you know what, Noah won't send it in, he's probably got enough. And I can never have enough. Can never have enough of a good thing. Remember what makes you happy. No, seriously, you can never have enough of a good thing. So, do send your story in, write it out and send it in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And that's also the email address if you just want to send any abuse to me too. Please don't send any abuse. Why would I even ask? Anyway, let's get to some real spooky stories. So do you remember we had a story, was it last week, I think, maybe, from Tyler Manning? And he sent us in a story it concerned his two grandmothers. One he calls Gigi and one he calls Mormor. So they're his grandmothers. Well, anyway, he sent another one in and we're going to go right into it. So this is Tyler's additional story. Greetings, Kevin. It's Tyler again with more ghost stories. I have a few small ones, and they mostly consist of being in my Mormor's house, in brackets, the one who believes in ghosts, and cabinets opening and closing. But once the fridge opened, and I shouted, "Hey, you left the door open," and it slammed shut. I left and went to play basketball. Or once, at my Gigi's house, in brackets, the one who thinks there's no ghosts, only demons, I took a selfie laying in bed, and sent it to my girlfriend at the time, and there was someone behind me. I never saw it until she sent it back to me pissed, wanting to know who was in bed with me. Oh, matron there, Tyler. Imagine saying that. No, I'm not cheating on you. No, I am not cheating on you. It is a ghost. Yes. I tell you what, if I ever do the dirty on Beckett, I'm going to blame it on a ghost. Yes, I am. Imagine that. No. You can't have a fight with her because she's a spirit, actually. Yes. And that's just ectoplasm. Kevin, nearly crossed the line there, Kevin. Move swiftly on. So you remember as well that Tyler mentioned the ghost Margaret at George's house. Well, he now refers to that. So he continues. Back to George's house with Margaret the ghost. Now, I have little stories like the time she threw a skateboard at me and a girl. Either she didn't like the girl or wasn't happy with us kissing in the house. Or the time we asked her to open a gun pack. We had a friend over who didn't believe in ghosts, so we decided to prove it. We got an unopened gun pack with the plastic still on it and sat on a table in George's, in brackets, the youngest son, in his room and got George to tell Margaret any gum she could get out of the pack was hers. We walked out and shut the door. We waited about 5 seconds and George shouted out, "Okay, we're coming in." And the gum was opened and dumped out on the bed. Now, the biggest story is from the time I was coming back from a friend's house and saw my mum's car at George's house. I stopped by and decided to hang out for a bit, but fell asleep on the couch. This is where I had a dream I didn't know was a dream, because I sat up on the couch in the same place I fell asleep. Turned around and there was a lady I had never seen before sitting in the recliner. I jumped back and asked, "Who are you?" She smiled and said, "Tyler, I'm Margaret, but I don't have much time. Something bad is about to happen." At that, I was shaken awake by my mum, who was freaking out. I'd left my wallet at my friend's house, and he was bringing it over when he flipped the four-wheeler on the way home and was being rushed to the emergency room. Now, I should explain, I never seen a lady who looks like the one in my dream, and everyone in George's house are large people with short hair, short blonde hair, except her husband, who has short dark hair. This lady was slim, with long black hair, which comes into importance in the next bit. About half a year after the dream, Georgia let her nephew move in. He's about 4 years older than me, and me and him became friends. In brackets, we can call him Jacob. One night, a few months after he moved in, we were up about 2, maybe 1:30 in the morning, watching a movie on TV, and from not quite the corner of my eye, but off to the side, I clearly see the same woman from the dream lean out and look at me. The squeaky floor made no sound, and I never heard a door open, but there she was, looking at me. I turned to look at her, and she ducked back behind the wall. I asked Jacob, "Man, who is down the hall messing with me?" Jacob looked at me, and then down the hall, and then said, "There's no one there, man. Why?" I waved it off and said, "Never mind," but pulled the cover I had up so I could see the movie, but not the hallway. That's when I heard a bump next to me, and I yanked the blanket down to look. I saw Jacob standing up looking at me. "Get outside, now." He was already heading for the door when I heard him say, "I've just seen her too." We slept in the car that night. That's all for this time, Kev. I live in a haunted house now where stuff happens pretty frequently, so I have more stories, shadow people and other things. For now, though, I'll say goodbye as I head into the basement of the hospital for work and ghosts. Wow, Tyler, bloody hell. Tell you what, there's so many brilliant parts of that story, which I love. I do like the idea of a ghost visiting you in a dream and saying, well, not necessarily visiting you in a dream to say, "Hello, my love, there's going to be a horrific accident. And I'm Scottish, by the way." I don't like that idea. But I do like the idea of like a foreboding, "I'm going to give you a warning," with a pointy out finger. I like that, yes. And then for it to materialise in the real world. Ooh, yes. Very good story. So please do work on your others and send them in, Tyler. What a tale. Thank you, Tyler. Now let's have another. Yes, because that's how the show works. Our next email comes in from our longtime listener, Jenny Pie. Remember Jenny Pie? Jenny Pie, I'm in love with you, baby. Jenny has wrote in. And she says, oh, I've just lost the email. One sec. She definitely says something. Oh, she says, "Hi, Kevin and Becca." Hi.
Hi.
"I hope this finds you well and safe and feeling great." It does. "I have a new story and it's one that is currently undergoing development. This all just happened within the last few weeks. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks, Jenny Pie." I'm sure we will. And this is called Haunted Rehab. Interesting. Let's go. My favourite bar is in a part of town called Franklinton. I've mentioned this area, the Bottoms, before, on July the 28th, 2019 episode, as a neighbourhood that's pretty supernaturally active due to a flood that occurred over 100 years ago. It also had a reputation for being unsafe and rough, with a high crime rate because of drugs and prostitution. Despite the stats, Franklinton is currently undergoing a renaissance as an arts district, so there are a lot of changes happening there. Lots of creative types and new energies being introduced. The bar is called the Rehab Tavern and is in the building of what used to be known as the Three Juices. It gets the name Rehab not as a pun on addiction recovery, but because the owners preserved much of the original fixtures, such as clear-coating the shattered mirror behind the bar, in brackets, rumoured to have been broken during a bar fight that resulted in someone being shot, recovering the old stools and reutilising other building materials found inside. They also used a lot of repurposed building materials from other places. I mention this because, as we know, energies and spirits can get tied to objects, not just places. Yes, we do know that, Jenny. I was talking to Becca about that the other day, in fact, because I was saying, you know, if there was like an occult priestess, for example, and she'd done a high-powered seance-y sort of summoning, could that imprint itself in the walls? I don't necessarily mean a negative entity. I mean, could a negative emotion force itself into the walls? We were talking about Aleister Crowley. It was a good conversation. You had to be there. But yes, Jenny, I know what you're talking about. In mid-June, the bar was reopened after the COVID closures. I was there with some friends on a Wednesday night. Probably 8 people, including the bartender, were in the place. So it was a quiet evening for rehab. I went to the ladies' room, and when I walked in, I stopped because there were paper towels wadded up and scattered on the floor. A woman came out of one of those stalls and asked me where the paper towels even were, because there was no roll in place. We used some clean toilet paper and cleaned up the mess, throwing it all into the trash can. I didn't give any of it a second thought. Roughly 2 hours later, I went back to the bathroom and there were, again, wadded up paper towels all over the floor, plus the tissues we'd used to clean up the first time. I noticed patterns easily, and even in my slightly tipsy state, saw that the trash was laid out in almost the same way as before. I thought that was weird, but cleaned everything up anyway. I took the lid off the trash can and looked into the garbage bag, saw the empty paper towel roll, took the bag out and shook it, making sure there wasn't some kind of animal throwing the trash out. In brackets, I was secretly hoping for a baby raccoon. Nothing, everything was as it should be, just trash. Going back later, I jokingly asked the bartender if she'd been rooting through the garbage bag because she was bored, and I was done cleaning up after her. She laughed and said the previous Friday, every time she went into the restroom, there was trash all over. And not the usual debris that happens on a busy Friday, but it looked like someone had taken the trash out of the bin and threw it everywhere. She said she'd cleaned it up every time, but would go in again and there it all was. Laughing, I said it must be a ghost. It should be noted, the restroom is in a hallway that leads to a back door. It's a very heavy metal door that squeaks and bangs, so it's easy to hear if someone is going in or out, especially on a quiet night. I was standing at the bar, right next to the entry to the hallway, so we would have known if someone had gone in or come out. As I was joking with the bartender about the place being haunted, in brackets, which is something I had heard before anyway, I heard the distinct flip-flip of the metal trash can lid in the women's room, as if someone had just thrown something away. So I ran into the restroom, and on the floor was one piece of wadded up paper towel. No one had walked by me at the bar to the restroom, and we never heard the back door open or shut. I picked up the toweling and said out loud, "Cut that shit." Fair enough, Jenny Pie. I tell you what, get feisty with the demons. Cut that shit out. I'm having a pint here. I mean, do you drink pints in America? I'm having a beer here. Well done, Jenny. How brave of you. Anyway. Nothing else happened the rest of the evening. About 2 weeks ago, I reached out to my friend Bucky Cutright, who does the Columbus Ghost Tours, if he had any information about the bar and possible hauntings. I explained what occurred, and he agreed to look into it. In the meanwhile, the bartenders continued to have experiences. Alex was talking about seeing shadows, and when I mentioned the paper towels, she basically finished my story for me. She also noticed that it seems to be always laid out in the same pattern each time. She mentioned the fryer turning itself on and off, condiments flying off shelves, and hearing noises in the bar when she's alone prior to opening, or after closing. Nick, another bartender, says the other back door will open and slam shut of its own accord when he's alone. He's also seen shadow movement and says he feels it follow him, and whatever it is, it's threatening. They've both witnessed the same things when working together. Bucky eventually got back to me, and this is what he said. Here are my preliminary findings. In December of 1954, Wilma Williamson fell down the stairs and cut her head. I haven't checked if it ended up being fatal yet. In August of 1970, a guy who lived there named George Thompson beat Clarence Whitehair, a transient from West Virginia, to death after a night of drinking. I'm not certain where the murder occurred, though. Lastly, a guy named Ernst Shaw was followed by another patron after leaving and was stabbed to death near the intersection of Town and Lucas in February of 1982. Could one of these poor souls be the bathroom ghost, or might it be a spirit who's attached to the space but didn't meet with tragedy? We might need a medium to find out. A week ago, I found out the men's room used to be where the ladies is now. Also, there have been more disembodied voices and doors slamming that have no business to be slamming. Occurrences are becoming more intense. I am friends with the women who live in the apartment above the place, as well as with a few more bartenders, so I'm going to attempt to collect more information, experiences, and stories from them. I will hopefully be able to keep you updated with my findings.
Jenny Pie, you need to, because what we've got here, ladies and gentlemen, guys and dolls, kings and queens, is we have an ongoing live paranormal situation. That's fantastic. How very exciting. So sincerely, Jen, I do want you to keep us adrift and abreast, if you will, of the situation, because how very exciting that it's taking place right now. If I was a millionaire, and of course the world was a different place, I'd jump on a plane, I'd fly over there, and I'd say, let's go ghostbusting. But I can't. But that is fantastic. Thank you so much for sending that in, Jenny. And do keep us adrift / abreast. Now, shall we have a midpoint? Yes, I think we shall. The Western midpoint. And midpoint is then Meinenhausen. I've just found a ruler. You know, like a ruler in America? I have no idea. You know, like you get in school where you measure things with and you draw straight lines with. And you can also do this with... Let's see. Yeah. Yep. Funny noise, Kevin. Good ruler finding, Kevin. Thanks, Kevin. Anyway, it's a midpoint. Hurrah. So exciting times about this book. I've just checked, and unbelievably, it's sitting at number 2 in the Unexplained Mysteries chart for new releases, and number 3 in the Supernatural chart for new releases. So I am chuffed on behalf of Miss Becca West, because you put a hell of a lot of effort into it. She really did. And like, you know, when you get word blindness, she suffered that quite a bit. Where she was like, what does potato even mean? And I was like, I have no idea. And I don't know why anyone's got potato in a ghost story. But do go and check it out. The link will be in show notes. Yes, it will. But fantastic. So chuffed for her. We're going to be off recording a Patreon special after I've recorded this. And we're going to do an outside one. We're going to go on a little walk and we're going to do an outside broadcast with my handheld recorder. So that'll be up on Patreon shortly. Any other news to inform you of? I'm not sure. I don't think so. Ooh, good news is, recall, if you will, that this Halloween, for the Halloween special, I want to go to a very haunted hotel in the Isle of Anglesey. Yes, which is a little island off Wales. And we've been there once before, and genuinely, I experienced some of the spookiest shit that I've ever experienced. And I had... evidence of it, and I know you will say, well, why haven't you got it now? It was a different phone, lost the phone, all this kind of... Anyway, I want to go back there, and they've just announced that they are taking bookings again following all of this nonsense, so that is excellent news, because it means that I can take Becca along with me, of course, because it'd be weird to go alone, and I'd also be shit scared to go alone, and I can take all of the stuff that I've got now. So I've got an app on my phone that can record things when things move. That's going with me. I've got a thing that can record when it hears sound. That's going with me. And hopefully, we're going to record episodes there as well. So it's going to be bloody amazing, this Halloween one. We're obviously going to go mid-October so that we can release it in time for Halloween. And I'm just so excited about it. I'm so bloody excited about it. Yes, so I think that's it really, midpoint-wise. Of course, I do need to reiterate that we are always looking for stories, so send them in. And they will either go on this show or they will go on a dark episode, yes. Or the new podcast, should I say, The Dark Paranormal. Exciting times. Okay, you wonderful, beautiful, dare I say, sexy people, let's get back to the show. See you on to the side. Hold on, see you on to the side. Good noise, that.
we are back. I hope you enjoyed your midpoint. Maybe made a coffee. Yes. Unless you're under 60. Can look there. Any age can drink coffee, can't they? I've no idea. Maybe just have a water. Let's not risk it in this day and age, you know. Anyway, our next email comes in from... Oh, yes, actually. I've just been halfway through recording this story. And then I got to the point where it says, and I'd appreciate it if you kept me anonymous. So I'm not telling you who it came from. However, the title of the email is called More Ghost / Demon Stories. And they write, good evening, Kevin. Well, it's afternoon here, but good evening wherever you are. I hope you and Becca are doing great. We are, thank you. I love hearing you guys in the podcasts, especially when I'm at home alone or when I'm in the kitchen cooking. It makes me feel like I'm right there with y'all. And they did write y'all. I hope you're not here with us. That'd be terrifying. Anonymous? Anonymous! No, you're not here, really. I think it's wonderful how y'all, again, I like that, offer We Don't Need to Talk About Ghost podcasts. It showcases more than just ghosts, and that's appreciated during this C-word time. Why, thank you. I have written to you before. However, this time, I'd like it if you kept me anonymous. Yes, I will. And hopefully no one will find the previous recording I've just done where I didn't. I only ask this because of what I'm writing to you, and this happened to my family and I. It was far too real, and it's the only way I can put it. I have only told two people outside of my family. However, I've never retold it with details and specifics. I hope you, Becca, and your other lovely listeners enjoy. Now, there are a number of stories here, and we're going to read out a good few of them. So, here we go. The first story is of my great uncle. This is around 1970s in rural El Salvador. There is no electricity at the time. They would light oil lamps and candles. My dad's uncle would wake up super early in the morning to get himself ready, eat breakfast, and then travel to tend his land. He woke up like any other morning, finished his breakfast, and went off on his horse. It was not too long before sunrise. He was traveling for a good minute and the sky slowly began to lighten up, but it was still difficult to see far ahead. He kept traveling on the dirt road when he came upon a white horse. The white horse was standing in front of his path. He tried to steer his horse around the white horse, but the white horse would move with them. He realized it was intentionally not letting them through. He needed to get to his land before the sun was up. He tried again, and the white horse still wouldn't let them pass. He had no choice but to wait and be patient. This horse was wild for all he knew. He tried to pass again, and this time the white horse moved aside as him and his horse made their way. It was odd. He was now sure the horse was not letting them through on purpose, but he didn't understand why. He kept travelling the same path he took every day, and the sky was now getting lighter, but the sun was still not officially up, but he could see a bit better. Up ahead, he noticed something laying next to a tree. As he got closer, he realised it was a man. He got closer still, and he noticed that the man had been killed and left there. He then made the travel back for help. My dad's uncle realized that the white horse could have been a good spirit. My dad's uncle believed the white horse who appeared to him was trying to protect him from what was lying ahead. Maybe it wasn't time for him to pass through the area, or maybe the murderers were still around. Who knows? But my dad's uncle believed the white horse protected him and stopped him from seeing something dangerous or saved him from physical danger or harm. He was unsure if what happened to him tied into a folklore story called El Cadeo. There are many versions of this story in many Central American countries. However, a fairly popular version of the legend in El Salvador talks about two brothers who walk into the house of a black magician. During a storm, he asked the boys to help him with some logs for the fire. Both boys slack on the job, but still eat the man's food. Once he finds out that the little bit of food he had is missing and that there's not enough wood for the fire, he puts a curse on the road that leads to the boys' village. As they walk, voices bother the boys, and when they turn their backs on the voices, they get turned into creatures, a white cadeo and a black one. After going back to their village in their cursed form, they get kicked out and have no choice but to wander. And she took that from Wikipedia. El Cadeo has a couple of forms. It can appear as a dog, a horse, or a goat-like creature. Either black or white version can appear to you depending on the situation.
If the white version of the animal appears to you, it means the animal is trying to warn you or protect you. If the black version of the animal appears to you, it means evil is coming your way, or it's there to cause you harm in some way. This harm could range from actual physical harm, or it could toy with you and your mind, making you go crazy. You can't speak, you hear voices, etc. That is amazing. What a story. This is brilliant. She continues. I say she, I hope it's she. Or they continue, because it's anonymous, isn't it? Yes, Kevin, it's anonymous, you silly willy. Another instance of El Cadeo deals with my mum's father and my grandpa. When they were very young in El Salvador, their father would come back from work and relax in a hammock that was strapped to a huge tree out in their yard. My grandfather worked in the sun, so he would wear a big sombrero. Not the Cinco de Mayo ones, almost like a cowboy hat. When he came back from work, he would first sit in the hammock, take off his sombrero, place it whole side up on the dirt floor, and then finally lay down in the hammock. My mum and her sisters tell that they would witness many times El Cadeo as a small white goat-like form, and it would come and literally be small enough to sit and take a nap in my grandfather's sombrero. It would be gone by the time he got up. If they ever tried to follow it and catch it, they would never even get close enough to touch it. Wow. There are more stories there, but I'm going to save them for other episodes. That is fantastic. I've never heard of El Cadeo before, and I love the folkloric idea of a white one and a black one. One to say, don't go that way, there's evil. And one that says, I'm the evil, come to me. That is brilliant. Thank you. So, a witch? A witch? No witches here, please. I wish I could say your name to thank you, but I will email you back. I will respond to your email to thank you personally, because what a series of stories you've sent on. And guys, I will say right now, those stories I've just read to you about El Cadeo, they are nothing in comparison to the terror that resides within those emails that this could be boy, girl, non-gender, who knows, has sent, because they're anonymous, you see, Kevin. That's the point. Stop saying she. It could not be a she. It may not be a she. But thank you so much for the email. So very good. If you've got a similar sort of folkloric tale, doesn't have to be from Central America or anywhere like that. It can be from anywhere in the world, just folklore, I say. Then do send it in. Contact at talkaboutghosts.com. Okay, let's have another. We have an email here and it's brilliant. And it's from Charlotte Seaton. Hello, Charlotte. And your email is entitled My Experience at Chillingham Castle. Now, if you're a fan of the paranormal, you will have heard of Chillingham before. Yes, I think it's famous for the Blue Boy Ghost, etc., etc. And the email goes thus. Hi, Kevin. Hi. My name is Charlotte. I come from a small town on the border of northeast England. There is a haunted castle that is only about 23 miles from me called Chillingham Castle, said to be one of the most haunted in Britain. There are many ghosts that are said to haunt the place, and this castle dates well back to the 1200s, where loads of executions, witchcraft, and deadly battles between the Scottish and English have taken place over the years. As I am interested in this sort of thing, I have visited the castle on several occasions for a ghost tour. Gladly, I was not disappointed with what occurred. And now we go in to the ghost story. Brace yourself, chaps. Here we go. The ghost tours would usually start around 8:30 to 9 p.m, just as the sun was starting to set. We would all gather at the entrance of the castle before commencing. The ghost tour guys would start off by telling us a bit of background about the castle and what ghosts are said to haunt there. Firstly, we made our way to the Hanging Monk's Tree, where we were told that monks, children, and witches would get hung from. I had an eerie feeling down there, and the ghost tour guide had told us he felt a presence, but it was nothing to be afraid of. After this, we made our way to the torture chamber, which was said to be haunted by many poor souls that had lost their life to an evil executor called John Sage, who was a medieval torturer who used to take great pleasure in his grisly work, even devising new and improved methods of inflicting pain on people. During the 3 years he had the job, he's said to have tortured over 7,500 people. At the end of the English-Scottish War, they wanted to rid the castle of its prisoners, so he rounded up Scottish adults and older children being held and burnt them to death. He then took an axe, which is still at the castle today, and hack the younger children to death in the King Edward room. The chandelier is often said to swing by itself, and people report a foul smell and strange atmosphere in the room. John Sage's undoing was when he accidentally strangled his girlfriend to death as they made love on the torture rack. Unfortunately for John, his girlfriend's father was the Border Rivier, who said that he would get a great army and attack the castle if John Sage was not put to death. He was then publicly hung from a tree in the castle grounds in the front of a very enthusiastic crowd. As he slowly died, people cut off pieces of his limbs and kept them as souvenirs, celebrating ending the life of a truly detestable man. He's an evil dark presence who still haunts the castle to this day. He became an executor after he fell off his horse in one of his battles and damaged the tendons in his leg and could no longer be able to ride. As we entered the torture chamber, we were told to switch all our torch lights off, and Graham, the tour guide, was going to try and speak to the ghosts. We were all separated around the room. Some of the group was at the top of the chamber, some in the middle, and some were placed at the bottom near the door. None of us were together. He started to speak and asked if there was any ghost that would like to come forward, etc. Then there was a clicking noise at the bottom of the room near the entrance, and Graham had said that someone had entered the room. I tried to see where the noise was coming from, but I couldn't see anything apart from a few dark objects. It was dark, but you could still just make out figures. It wasn't even 5 seconds and the clicking started behind me. I was at the top of the chamber. It was a kind of clicking that your knees or bones make when you're walking. By this time, I'm terrified. I shut my eyes as tight as I can in the hope it'd go away. After this, Graham told us to switch our torches back on so we can head up to the dining hall. As we gathered into the room, we all took a seat at the table. The dining table was a massive long medieval table which sat about 20 plus people. Graham said the same again and asked if we could all switch our torches off and place our hands on the table, placing them on top of the hands of the people sitting next to us. Graham started off by trying to contact any spirits that may have wanted to come forward. After a few moments, which felt like a lifetime, finally we got a response. It was the same clicking noise again, like what we heard in the torture chamber. Graham told us he felt an evil presence unveiling over us like a cloud. At this point, I shut my eyes as tight as I could, terrified of what was to come. It started from the top end of the table, and one by one, everybody started to smell this very strong, potent urine scent. It was vile. Graham knew instantly that it was indeed John Sage, the torturer.
Wow. Bum, 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 bum. That's terrifying. Oh my God, I've heard of John Sage before. He's an evil little bugger. That is horrible. Thank you very much for sending that in, Charlotte. That's a great story. Oh, so there you go. And on a few children hacked to death there at the end. What a joyous way to end the podcast. No, sincerely, thank you, Charlotte, for sending that in. Don't forget, guys, if you've got stories that you want to send in, we need them. So send them to contact@talkaboutghosts.com and we will read them out. Okay, let's have a look at the lovely reviews you've been sending. And don't forget, guys, if you can't give to Patreon for whatever reason, none of my business, but you'd still like to support the show, then leaving a review is free. And we've had two lovely people who've gone and done that this week. We've had one review at 5 stars, funny and captivating. Why, thank you. And the review says, "My name is Mandy." Thank you, Mandy. "And I love listening to this podcast as the host can be funny at times. And the content of the show is always captivating. I especially appreciated the EVP saying, 'Why not?' Scary." Indeed it was. Lovely Scouse accent as well. Ah, oh, thanks. "Look forward to your podcast every week, so keep it up. I've just listened to the new Dark episode and bloody hell, Kevin, scary or what?" I agree, Mandy. Thank you for your review. Then another one here, 5 stars, "Kev the good egg and a picture of a ghost." Ooh. "Even if you're not into the supernatural, give this podcast a go. Guaranteed Kev's dulcet tones and brilliant storytelling will leave you chuckling and feeling spookily wonderful. A thoroughly good Scouse egg." Ah, Marnie Bear from Great Britain there. Thank you, Marnie Bear. So yeah, 2 mentions of being Scouse. I'm Scouse, what can I do about it? But I'm not overly Scouse so that you can't understand me. Yes. Okay. So I think that wraps it up for this week. Thank you so much, guys. Don't forget,
There is a Patreon coming out very shortly. It'll be me and Becca. We're about to go outside, have a walk about, and talk general chiff-chaff to each other. That will be released on Patreon shortly. If you do go over to Patreon, you'll get loads of extra episodes. I think there's a good few dozen on there now. Bit of a back catalogue. We put 2 a week out. So, also, eventually, we will be putting up a Patreon discount code for when we release the signed copies of the book in the store. Yes. And do go to the notes of the show. Show notes, Kevin, not the notes of the show. It'll be you, Yoda. Go to the show notes and you'll be able to see the links there to the Amazon site to get your own copy of our new release, Listener Stories Volume 1. Okay, guys, as ever, you are wonderful human beings. And I will speak to you all on Wednesday for the first episode of The Dark Paranormal or the second episode of We Need to Talk About Ghost Dark. However you want to look at it, that's what's taking place. Okay, take care, guys. Daddy, bye.